You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi there. Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders. Or sometimes look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, in an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty and barely funded by banners that go over the seats sponsors. It's MLS.
Yeah, oh boy. Not funded by anything at all.
We're your hosts from mornings on, that's the Sacramento Republic FC.
That's Blizzard and Activision or whatever.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We're your hosts from mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. He's been in the locker room on the pitch. And in Eastern Washington for the better part of a year, he's Brandon from the internet.
Hi. Or, I don't know, howdy. I don't know how people in Eastern Washington talk.
Get back to your state.
The 51st state of liberty. Colt 2021.
Do us a quick solid, and there's no election for Culp this year. Do us a quick solid and click through to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating or whatever.
Definitely 5 stars.
Primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from Freddie Montero to Clint Dempsey.
Oh, look at you.
Because, of course, as is true with every podcast that we record, I don't know if we just pick the wrong day every single time we do it, because we have no consistency, right? Every single time we record, something happens the following day that is newsworthy, and we're never able to cover it. So after the last time we recorded, 3 years ago, Freddie Montero literally signed, I think, that afternoon or something, or maybe it was the next morning, for the Sounders. So Freddie Montero is back, signed for the Sounders because he wants to be closer to his coffee shop. I mean, family. And the thing is that regular season goal scoring record is shared between Freddie Montero and Clint Dempsey. And it makes me think that, I don't know, I don't think Clint cares enough about it, about the Seattle or the Sounders. I made the joke online that was, is Clint going to come out of retirement to keep pace with Freddie's goal scoring record? And to which I feel like Clint responds to everything with, nah, I'm good, pimp.
He's like, who's going to hold my fish?
Yeah.
He likes fishing. That's why I said that.
That's a funny joke. That's a funny fish joke.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. It's wild to see the pictures coming out of preseason training to see Freddie Montero there just walking alongside as if he's always belonged there. It's just I just accept that he's there, and I'm like, oh, long time superhero Freddie Montero.
It's like looking at Freddie Montero next to Nico Ladero. Those guys didn't play together when Freddie was with the Sounders before. And when you see them together, you're like, this makes so much sense. It's like these guys should have been best friends forever. They just look nice together.
Hey, does Freddie Montero have any money?
Well, okay, so this is what's funny. I mean, that coffee shop business is lucrative. Santos Coffee up on 65th in Roosevelt opened up right after I moved away.
Great.
Never got to go. But I texted my friend. So I have this friend who's Portuguese, and he is a big Porto fan. But
sure.
He also likes Sporting in Portugal. And that is where Freddie Montero went to play after he left the Sounders. He went to go play for Sporting. And he was great for them, played in the Champions League. Freddie's a great, great player who's played at, one of the highest levels. Not to say Portugal's the highest level, but, Sporting is the best team, if not one of the best teams in Portugal. Sorry, Benfica and Porto and everybody else. So I texted my friend after Freddie Montero signed back for the Sounders, because that's, the first thing that we ever connected on.
Wait.
When he barely spoke any English, was, Freddie Montero.
Would you say that they're the Columbus Crew of Portugal?
You mean the best team in Portugal? Yeah. Ouch. And so I texted my friend. I said, "Hey man, Freddie Montero signed for the Sounders." And he was like, "Oh no way. How many millions are they paying him?" And I was like, "No, no, no." It's like no,
genuine
no, no.
LOL. Yeah.
I was like, no millions, friend.
No, no, no. They gave him, you know what? They picked up the cost of his jerseys. Yeah. They'll pay his gas mileage, but only per mile.
Yeah, yeah. He will make he'll make many new who's, but not many millions.
Has that been disclosed yet, what he's getting paid?
I don't know. I think that they signed him to a, I don't know the figure, but they signed him to a one-year contract with an option for,
yeah.
I think, 2 years option or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, which they can always renegotiate at the end of the year. They decline his option and then renegotiate his contract so he never makes millions or million.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's not here as a DP. So if that says anything about the money that he's making.
So Kim Keehee, not a DP, he was making $450 when he was here a year. And you got to figure that Montero is at least that caliber, but I don't know if his age plays into it. Like, do you think Montero's going to be a regular starter?
I mean, he wasn't for Vancouver, and I don't know if it was because of injuries.
Well, look how bad they were.
Yeah, and they were not great. Then again, they had a lot of other problems going on. They lost, you know, a couple of their best players from the season before.
Turf Boney missed a whole half a season with a bad fan belt.
Yeah, he pulled spark plug. Turf Boney couldn't make it. Actually, it was a hamstring. Who were we kidding? It was his hamstring.
He doesn't play here.
Yeah. You're right.
What's a Canadian hamstring? Is that like Canadian bacon?
It's Canadian bacon, yeah. Canadian bacon string. he had like 12 goals for the Whitecaps, I think, or something last season. So he had a good season. I could be making that number up completely, so who knows. But I think he had a pretty good season, and I don't think anybody's expecting him to come here and be the guy that takes, you know, the Sounders attack up a huge level, right? But he's another guy. We always talk about the fact that there isn't really a natural replacement for when Nico Lodero is injured or out for some reason. I think Freddie Montero's that guy.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Brandon. I'm not trying to be derogatory towards you. It's just I think of Freddie Montero as the guy who like didn't drop back, who didn't cover, who just kind of walked around up front. And if he wasn't interested in playing, it was like having not an extra guy up there. So he never showed that like get back and hustle. Now, I to be fair, I haven't followed him in his Sporting Lisbon, the Columbus Crew of Portugal days, but like. Maybe there's some improvement. I don't know.
I think I'm hoping in his old age that Freddie Montero has, like many players, changes. Like what Bastian Schweinsteiger, for instance, was center back for Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire, great.
Yeah. So I mean, if Freddie Montero comes back as a center back, I think we're great.
It's awesome that Bastian Schweinsteiger took a Brad Evans approach to MLS.
Sure.
He
took the Willie Bloomquist approach to the Sounders, which was just play wherever they put you.
Or wherever you want.
Yeah.
Not that Brad did that, but Yeah, I am huge, huge into this idea. I wish he was coming back with long hair, but now that he's in his 30s, he's got to wait till his 40s to get his long hair back, evidently. And but yeah, I wish he was coming with those glorious locks, but I'll take whatever production he can have, and it'll be so fun to root from him, maybe from the stands, but likely from home.
I think another thing we didn't talk – well, maybe we'll get to it later. Go ahead.
Okay, so as we were saying, your favorite ever player from Freddie Montero to Clint Dempsey.
Yeah.
We have a new review.
We do have a new review, and they did tell us who their favorite Sounder was, so they did listen. So this was from 08 N. Garcia. I think it's Nick Garcia. Thanks, bud. He said, fun Sounders podcast after the three. And this is so, I feel so, like we are such a disappointing pair of people, you and I. He says, after the 3-0 loss in MLS Cup, I found myself avoiding all MLS soccer podcasts except for this one. I'm so sorry. Why do you make that decision, my friend? He said, this podcast is great for a Sounders fan who wants to break, who wants a break from the other Sounders soccer podcasts that are all about the nitty gritty. Though the hosts definitely understand tactics. Okay.
Uh-huh.
First of all, let's stop right there. I'm going to stop you right there. No, we don't. We think we do, but we don't. They prefer to focus on the culture and definitely deliver some much-needed laughs along the way if you're 3 years old. I added that part. He said, love it. Favorite sounder has got to be Nico. Thanks.
It's awesome.
He said,
I can't.
He decided to avoid all other podcasts except for this one, and then we went on like a four-month hiatus.
That's how you know that we're not counting on this for revenue and we do it because we like it, yeah. Because we could just take months off without delivering anything and be fine. That is among the nicest things that someone has said about this podcast, and I'm really grateful for it. The idea that you think that we can just be dumb and have fun and, you know, be about the Sounders, that's the exact experience that I'm looking for. I personally don't want to people to rely on us to be an authority figure on anything, but no. I do want them to come here so we can make fun of people's salaries or haircuts or whatever.
Yeah, if you listen to us so that you can go to the game and talk about, the Sounders are going to play in a 3-5-2. Wait, does that add up? 8-10? Yeah, okay, that adds 10, up. Great.
Okay, great.
if you're going to rely on us to be like, oh, well, the Sounders might do this with Freddie Montero, who's going to play center back this week. Like,
look at that diamond.
We're going to make you look like an idiot to your friends.
But if you want to talk about how many new who's somebody is worth, we got you. We got you, dog. Full90podcast.com if you need any of our socials or you need to figure out how to get this podcast somewhere else. I don't know why you would.
I am offended that you don't think that how many new who's somebody makes is the nitty gritty.
I mean, we did come up with mathematical conversions, right, from American to Canadian. So.
Oh, I texted you this, but I felt like it's worth sharing with anybody who's listening to this podcast. So my wife, she went to Walla Walla with her friend, and they were going to some wineries. They went to a really nice restaurant, and at the end of the meal, I was just checking our bank account for something else, and I saw how much she had spent on the meal, and before tip. The charge on our bank was $69.69.
Amazing. I mean, it's amazing.
Which makes me think that Canadians are spending a lot more money than us.
On food? On dining?
$420?
Oh my God, and 420 Canadian cents? They go to 1,000.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Brandon, I've been very busy, and you have too. You've been working. I've been dealing with a puppy and some pretty significant puppy drama, my God.
Oh, puppy drama. We need a puppy drama. Da, da, ba, ba, ba.
Like a gavel sound. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Puppy drama. Dun, dun. The Law and Order.
So we got a puppy, and we're dealing with people that are morons. I should just read samples of the emails that I have going on, but I won't. The puppy has a heart murmur.
Oh.
And we are going back and forth with these people, and they think that because – well, I probably shouldn't get into it in case I have to sue them.
Hmm.
Well, we got a puppy. It's cute. Puppy drama over. Dun, dun, dun.
In Snohomish, there is a special division of residents who discuss
puppy drama.
Puppy drama.
It's actually a statewide bureau, just so you know. So it's it reaches from Ording to, I don't know, Blaine, Blair. What is it, Blaine?
Blaine
Washington?
Blaine. Yeah, it's Blaine.
It doesn't go over the mountains to Spokanistan, though.
No, we're a 51st state of liberty over here. There is no amount of regulation that will keep our puppies down.
Dude, Sumo's back. That's pretty sweet. And return of the champ, Hakuho, with his 44 Sumo titles. I think it's 44, 43 or 44, which is unheard
of. He's kind of like on the decline, right? Like he's getting to the point where he's... Because in Sumo, correct me if I'm wrong, in Sumo, like if you have an injury, you would... Or like a minor thing that would make it so you'd likely lose, you pull out completely, right? Like it's like a hey. it's like you fake an injury if you think that you're not going to be able to like perform to the highest level, correct?
So the idea is that it's pro rel, and so it's 15 days of competitions, and you're wrestling one guy every day, and if you don't wrestle, that's a loss, and if you get more losses than wins.
You're regulated.
Then Warren G
relegated.
Returns from the brings Nate Dog back from the dead, and you get regulated.
You get sent down to be a regulator.
You get high like every day. And so, yeah, you get demoted, and if you get to the bottom of the table, it's called a banzuki. If you get to the bottom of the table, then you are dropped to the next division down. And so, yeah, if you don't compete, you're in trouble. However, if you make Yokozuna, one of the benefits is that you don't have to deal with that. So if you lose, like, on your second day and you don't want to keep going, you can just stop and then come back next time and it's fine. The nerds at the top that run the thing are like, you can't do that. And they get upset about the notion that you're just, you know, dodging competition in order to stay healthy. But Hakuho has, you know, he's 36 years old or something like that. And his, you know, a career of smashing against other fat guys and rolling around is like going to take its toll. And he, on day three, hurt his knee and had to withdraw. So Sumo is the storylines are totally different because neither Yokozuna has competed really in the last 5-6 tournaments, which is crazy. So the top level guys aren't there. It would be like Columbus Crew sitting out for like the entire season and not getting relegated. Not that MLS has pro rel, but you know.
No, it makes me think of like, I think it was Thierry Henry when he was playing for the Red Bulls in New York. Mm-hmm. Would not play if the Red Bulls were playing in Seattle because he didn't want to injure himself on the turf. And I think it's just because
David
he
Beckham.
Didn't want Freddie Montero to like suplex him into oblivion.
Who's the guy that did the double donkey kick?
Oh, Sergio Mota?
Yeah, he didn't want to get Mota'd.
Dude, that is still... were you working that game? Were you calling that game? Because if not, that's a mistake. That was like that was an event, an S2 event made for you and John.
This guy double donkey kicks someone. What happens is a guy's getting burned. He's on the ground on his back, and he puts both heels straight into some dude's dick.
Oh my god, that's like if I can find the GIF, I will try to put it back on our Twitter because it is still one of the best moments / worst moments. It's some of the best things have happened at Starfire. You had Clint Dempsey tearing up a referee's notebook. You had Sergio Mota double donking a kick, double donking a guy in the dick.
you had Marshawn Lynch running a soccer ball in for a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, this is that is hollow ground.
It's interesting because I don't know how it will apply to games in Tacoma and perhaps at Starfire Stadium, but this year at King County, this season, King County says that we can have people back in the stands for soccer. Now, not all of the people back in the stands, definitely not people from Spokane, but you can there'll be 25% capacity at the home opener there in the middle of April. The 16th, I believe, is the first match for Seattle Sounders back at home. Now, it's only 25%, so you do the math on that. Like, I don't know if they do 25% of their total capacity, which is 66,000, or their stated capacity that they go for,
like 44,000 or something like
that. Yeah, exactly. So my understanding was it would be 9,500 people, and so it's got to be, they've got to say
they're
that 40
for that
is
lower
the
number. Yeah,
yeah, it's got to be like 38 or something like that is what they.
So it's kind of going to be like a FC Dallas game,
or like any soccer match in a place where summer sucks.
Yeah. No, that's going to be it's going to be interesting, really, to have fans back in the stadium. I don't know. Like, everything is so weird now. It's like some states you're back in phase two or phase three or whatever. In Washington state, it's kind of like your county is in phase 2.3, section B, clause 14.
No. Everyone's is now in phase three. Sure, everyone collectively is in phase three. And the numbers are on the decline that's such that it could be phase four in King County if everyone keeps taking it seriously by the time the Sounders actually play. And I was thinking, well, there's no way you could turn it around that fast to get people in the stands and do it fairly with all these season ticket holders and stuff that you have. However, when the playoffs show up and they need to sell tickets hella fast, they're able to crank it, you know, turn it over in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a small chance that you could end up with 50% capacity, and 20,000 people is nothing to laugh at there.
No,
that's a ton of people.
That's like the max capacity for a lot of teams, even if they sold out, right? Like, I think the Minnesota Stadium, for instance, maxes out at 22,000. So,
yeah, Fartland Timbers just increased the size of their stadium last season, and they took it up to just under 26,000. Yeah. So they're in the same position as the Sounders, where they'll have a quarter capacity, and they'll be, you know, just under 7,000 people will be allowed to attend.
I'm curious how they're going to do it. Like, and this is the most serious soccer talk I want to talk about this week, is how are they going to, you know, fairly distribute the tickets? You know, the Sounders season ticket base is twice, if not three times, what the capacity is going to be, right? So, yeah. So I mean, they probably have published this, and I just haven't read it, because that's the kind of due diligence I do, but...
Well, they send it out to the season ticket holders and everything, and you have to get a team of people from the same household together that say that they're interested, and then so you could buy up. Like, you need four people, is what Cool Keith was telling me. You know, none of us live together, so it's like hard for us to be able to go and attend at the same time. What's up?
Cool Keith, famed knower of all Sounders things.
He's often joked as the worst fan of the year, but when it comes to how tickets are distributed, he's like, I already bought up all the Dodgers tickets for Mariners. And I was like, what? Those are even on sale? He's like, yeah, what do you? Of course they are. And I was like, what? So, yes, he's like the king of the international district down there and the ticket distribution.
Yeah. He's like setting up his own Cool Keith box office.
So the problem being, though, is that you have you have 30,000 season ticket holding fans, and you only have 9,000 available seats, and you got to do distancing and everything else. And so they're working at it's not going to be fair. There's just no way that you could do it to make it work out where everyone gets what they want. Even though we have certain tickets a certain place, we still have to petition to be able to get in. It's going to be another weird season. I would love to go to a soccer match, but I also don't want to go through all the chaos of it yet myself. Sure. Although I'm flying to Arizona tomorrow, where everything is open. Restaurants completely open, 100%. You have to wear a mask when you're not seated. And I'm like, but when you are seated and there's 100 people in a tiny room, that's fine? Like, yeah, that's fine.
Full capacity, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah, awesome.
It's like, I guess it's just there's like a... I don't know, like not a sliding scale, but like it's just, we're going to see other places where there's a ton of people packed in, and it's going to be weird to watch the kind of inequity that you end up with stadiums that are more full than other ones because the local restrictions are different. And it kind of is odd to me. I feel like MLS should kind of take a stance, like you got to do like least common denominator and say whoever has the fewest fans in is the minimum fans, but they also got to make that money. My question is, do they make more money covering the seats in digital advertising or by selling tickets?
And no, for the teams, they make the most, they got to make the most money by selling $14 beers at the concession stands, right?
But that's the Sounders that make that. That's not MLS, right? Yeah. That's like the organization that runs Seattle Sounders FC.
I wonder if there's a split, though. Like, I wonder if there is a split in revenue there.
There could be a revenue share for sure. So... here's a weird thing that happened. I was watching, like, let's say the Arsenal match the other day, and someone kicked the ball real high, and it didn't go behind a digital advertisement. Like, I could see it the whole time. I was like,
whoa.
And then, you know, I must have watched 100 games between the last Sounders match and now, but like, it caught my attention where I was like, hey, it doesn't disappear.
It didn't get like portaled into the wizard bird dimension and drop out somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of places that don't take, you were talking about Arizona. So speaking of places that don't take the coronavirus very seriously, Spokane is likely to get a USL One team. They are in talks, which is like the level right below where the Tacoma Defiance play. Right, they play in the USL Pro. I don't know. They don't have relegation and promotion, but they. Fake do, I guess. I don't know. But Spokane.
If those leagues survive until 2022, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Well, so they're talking about building a downtown Spokane stadium that will be funded partly. USL has said that they would put up some money for it because they think that Spokane would be. I mean, Spokane does have quite a few youth teams that are actually associated with the Sounders. So the Sounders could be seeing another farm team over here. It could be the Spokane Shadow move up into that league. I think they're in the PDL right now or something like that, or if they even exist.
No, dog. They're going to be the Liberty Liberty.
Liberty Liberty.
Come on, do I have to do it all for you?
Come on. You do. I'm sorry. it's with Culp 2021 on the kit sponsor. Yeah. I hope if we do get a team, we go like full Las Vegas Lights and just like make a joke out of everything. Like make a joke out of the fact that like nobody in Spokane cares about soccer.
Like other side of the wall FC.
Right. No, I mean, if you look at the renderings of the stadium, I mean, the biggest thing is, this is the most ridiculous thing is actually that the main detractors against the stadium are like, well, what are you going to do about the traffic? I'm like, if you've ever been to Spokane, you know that the traffic here is a joke. Like, it doesn't exist. Like, the most traffic that you sit in is maybe 5 minutes. And that's on the busiest day when everybody else is driving through to Idaho where they don't have to wear masks and they can shoot guns in the air. but it looks awesome. It would take down one of a really cool building that I think is here. But for soccer, I'd do it. I'd kill them all.
Just unilaterally, just remove anyone
without warning. Just demolish.
I want it to be vaporized as well. I don't want there to be literally any warning. No beeping, bulldozers backing up, nothing. Just Boba Fett with phasers set to disintegrate.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I hope that there's a team there too. I'm still pulling for Sacramento to be able to make it up to MLS. I'm curious to see what the Defiant season is going to look like and OL Reign and how they're, because they're only like a 5,000 person stadium and like, that makes a bigger difference. You have 1,000 people there. That's like a big deal.
Yeah. Or you just get like 3 people in the stands and be like, yay, score a goal. But they have to be socially distant, sitting on each side of the.
That's amazing. Okay, so we've covered fans coming back, Spokane, yeah, Sumo, Puppy Talk, which I bailed on because I didn't want to, screw myself over here. I had an idea to get people vaccinated using sports as like a public health thing. So
kick the vaccines into their arms.
Freddie Montero will kick a vaccine at your body. And then Moda will double donkey kick you, kick the plunger.
Yeah, the first vaccine is Freddie Montero kicking it into your shoulder, and the second one is Sergio Moda donkey kicking it into your groin.
So what Seattle Sounders should do, in my opinion, and I don't have any science to back this up, is they have one of the world's most efficient, or the most, they do the most volume, vaccination points set up at the event center there at Lumen Field.
Yeah.
And so why not have people come pick up physical season tickets this year? I know that goes in the face of like trying to stay away from each other, but when you come get your ticket, you get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And if you opt out, okay, you just get your normal digital thing. You probably don't get as good a chance to come in, but you do it like a few days before the season or 2 weeks or whatever it is that you need, and you vaccinate everyone, and then we're all vaccinated with the same thing, and we show up, and yeah, maybe you do the mask thing just to keep people from, inadvertently spreading more stuff, or if, people somehow get in without it or whatever. Like, why not use it as a max vaccination idea? Because I certainly would be willing to get the single dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine in order to go to soccer matches. I'd be down for that.
I'm glad that you said Johnson and Johnson, because the way you've typed it out is J&J, and yeah. I thought that you were going to say the Jovan and Jones single shot. And I was like, dude, he plays in Miami now, dude.
Can't dude, do that. He gone.
He gone. He is the source for the vaccine. The Jovan and Jones.
We've been pulling his DNA. Somehow he is immune to the coronavirus, and we're replicating it to make immunity for the rest of us.
What are the side effects? Then, you run slower after you visit Germany.
Oh, who knew it was regional? Then to finish the idea out, you throw Johnson & Johnson, or Jovan & Jones, on the kit for a couple matches, since Zulily is a fake thing anyway.
Yeah. I sometimes think that Zulily might be a front for something, and it might be drugs. I don't know. But
okay, so
nobody knows what they really do.
So check this out. I've never witnessed them actually being a real thing. And I've gone to the website to be like, is this a real thing? And I'm still unconvinced, right? Mm-hmm. So I was walking by my neighbor's house the other day, and there was a dispute, a little bit of something was going on. The cops had been called, and then when I went by later, somebody was moving out. And in the garage, in the boxes stacked up, there it was at the top of the pile, a small square-looking brown moving box with a kind of purplish-looking Zulily printed on the side. And I wanted to go and take a picture of it, except for they had just had the cops there. Like, the previous day, I thought maybe that wasn't cool.
What did you order from Zulily? A divorce.
LegalZulily.com.
Okay, actually, speaking of Zulily, speaking of kits, right? I want to talk about the thing that's definitely going to be announced after we finish recording today and after this podcast go up, is that I'm sure that the new Sounders jerseys are about to be released right when we're done recording.
And, yeah, great.
And so lately there's been this like slow drip of like new Sounders merchandise in what's the, like Mitchell and Ness is one of those trendy kind of like sports merchandise companies. Simply Seattle has a bunch of stuff. And a lot of the new Sounders stuff, So a while ago, the colors for the kit were leaked, right? It's like a dark blue. It looks like the old Whitecaps kits from last year. The colors for the kit were released, but now, there's been a slow drip of new merchandise coming out, and, they are very purple and teal as a 25th anniversary Sounders thing, which we're celebrating for the second year in a row.
How very Sounders of them.
But so I've sent you a image on our chat, and I want you to tell me what you think about it. Would you wear that?
No,
I would. I think I would wear that.
So this is where I grew up when the Arizona Diamondbacks wore these same colors.
Yeah, like put Randy Johnson in that bad boy, and you've got a Diamondbacks jersey there.
And pigeons be scared.
Yeah.
Didn't he, was it a seagull that he murdered?
No, it was like a pigeon. And it happened twice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So what this is, what we have here is a three stripe horizontal teal white with the old school Sounders logo with Sammy the Orca. Is that what it was?
Yeah, Sammy the Sounder popping out and nuzzling a soccer ball, exploding.
And then a black stripe at the bottom, different colored sleeves, purple with black trim. It is like something that if it were a little bit bigger, that the Fresh Prince would have scoffed at in the 90s.
It's early. It's like an early 90s throwback. And I mean, it makes sense. You know, you look at 25 years ago, what the Sounders looked like. This was their branding. This was their colors. Somehow. Glad that we're still going with like that gaudy teal, like rave green is just the green version of the blue that's on these shirts. That makes sense in my brain. I don't know, but I think
you just move the color slider just that one element of the color slider, so it moves the same color. Just
I don't know. I think it's cool. If you go on anywhere on Sounders Twitter right now, you can find probably links to this. I think they have them in Simply Seattle, Mitchell and Ness, all these different places. I might wear that. I might buy that. And I might wear that.
Yeah, this is the difference between us, where you're more in the moment fashionable and I am cranky and old and set in my ways. So
sure. And the only thing is, like, the only place you can wear this is to a Sounders game.
Yeah, like, that's
where
just
else
it.
Like, I'm going to wear it to my cousin's wedding. Like, it does have like a collar.
And you are in Spokane.
Just got to put on some cargo shorts, baby, and this thing is formal.
Does your cousin live in Maple Valley still, or like what's going on here?
No, they live in rural Spokane.
Oh boy. Yeah, you'd be fancy. Look at you with your drip. I hope that, like, if the kit looked something like this, I think I would like it, not to wear, but to see. Like, if they drop a kit that looks something gaudy like this and a step away, I don't think Adidas will let them. But it would be cool if they did something like this that was so different. I don't know. I think I'd be stoked to see him wear that. This looks like it would be a really warm, heavy, gross shirt. Like that, if you accidentally mowed the lawn in it, you'd like really be upset about it. But if you turn it into soccer fabrics and wore it as a kit, it might be all right.
Yeah. I think I don't know. I mean, whether or not this alludes to what the new kits are going to look like, you know. Whatever. I think it's weird though, because it's the Sounders away kit, right? It's no longer the third kit because the Sounders only have two this season. And so I would be surprised if they went for something crazy, because you usually want to have some dichotomy there between the colors. So you want to have like high contrast. So if green is your light kit that you wear at home, where your opposing team mm-hmm. wears dark, when you're on the road, if the team is wearing their, you know, bright kit, then you have to wear a dark kit. So I imagine the Sounders are going to go with a dark blue or something, and probably not purple or teal like we're seeing in these kind of like supporting merch.
Man, I bet you they'll go for it. I bet you they'll do something wacky.
I hope so. I mean, I would love to see what this looks like, especially if the Sounders aren't getting a third kit, and knowing that the Sounders kits, you know, sell like crazy. I could see Adidas coming in here and doing something really interesting rather than giving the Sounders just like a simple black or white, like every other team in the league.
So they're getting rid- the sunset, whatever they're called, the sunset on black is gone. It's out.
Nightfall. Yeah. Those are out.
Wow, bummer.
Yeah.
Why you got to change? I guess to sell merchandise. I guess I can answer my own question.
I mean, I would love if they changed the rave green, like ASAP. The sweaty camo, grandma's curtains, rave green. Get a new one of those, and bring back. I think that they should go back to the traditional, you know, first year when Freddie Montero was playing in Seattle in 2009, the rave green kit with the away kit being that, you know, royal Sounders blue that's in the crest. We haven't had a kit like that since then, right?
The one that was opposites, right? You'd have green for home and blue for the road. Exactly. Yeah, it's the best. Yeah. It's such a good looking shirt out there. And blue is such a common color that people choose in sports that it would be nice to have the opposite from the wacky green that we use, which I love because it's definitely our squad out there that we're watching. You know, you can be proud of that. You know, it's them when they put that on. So. Yeah. All right. Well, in case you just ordered up some legal divorce, it's TLDL.
In case you've been talking to the cops for an hour, giving them your statement.
Also, I like that that's where your mind went when I didn't say that it was like it could have been roommates, you know?
Yeah, you're like, that's right. That's true. That's true.
Too long didn't listen.
Welcome back, Turf Boney. After miserable Canadian bacon tear, it's back.
It's back fat, baby.
It's back fat. Too long didn't listen.
Welcome to the USL. I know it's a little premature, but welcome to the USL, to the Liberty, Liberty. Liberty, Liberty.
Stop. That's going to be our first chant. Born in 2022. Liberty, Liberty.
Liberty, 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 Liberty. This is amazing.
Liberty, 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 liberty. I can hear that as a soccer chant. That's the problem.
Oh my God, this is perfect. Secede already, Eastern Washington. Come on. And too long didn't listen.
Got a legal problem? Try LegalZoomLily.com.
All right, bye.